So this is for Luke Sanders.
Okay.
Couple things. Your passion words is the story of redemption. You know, believe, forgive, love, restore, delight. You have to believe, forgive, then you're free to love, which causes the restoration, followed by the delight. It's, to me, it was like, right there, there's the story. And it's how do I say it? It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple, but it's complex in different ways. So that's the first thing that stood out was, you know, they're connected. They have a deeper meaning. They're tied together in ways that undergird or support the other stuff in your story. The second thing was from the talk that you gave, you know, the sharing your story about detached, lost, disconnected, the going places. You had no control, and you were powerless. That kept coming to my mind, powerless, throughout your growing up years. And you didn't like it, but there was not much you could do. But you controlled what you could control, which was very limited because things were out of your control. And it was kind of like floating in space with no gravity, looking for an anchor. And you want to get somewhere, but you can't because you're not attached, and it's like moving. And it was like chaos because you didn't know how to get where you wanted to go because you were powerless to control it. And the idea now that is that, you know, finding Christ and what you've recently gone into, you've found your anchor, and the gravity has come and settled, but it's a mess. And you're trying to organize all this stuff and get it lined up and get it right and fix things. And you're learning how to become powerful. You're figuring out how to become powerful because with the pictures, the water drowning and the water stillness, you have no control over a body of water if you're in it, whether it's wavy or if it's still, but you try to figure out how can you be powerful in those situations. And my question is, you know, do you know how to swim? And even better yet, you know, do you have a lifeboat, which to me is God, learning how to rest in Him and life jacket, that type of thing. So whether it's stormy or still, you have the power to survive and thrive in those situations. And it's more of an, let's see, where am I? Yeah, I don't know, just throwing this out there. One of my mentors, Danny Silk, talks about being a powerful person, owning your life, making choices. How do you become powerful versus powerless? And I would say look into that because that's changed my life. You know, how do you become a powerful person? You control you, and you can't control everything else. And I think I see a theme with the whole million-dollar plan that you have is you want to become powerful, and you want to teach others to be powerful so they have an anchor, so they can figure it out. They can not experience that powerless confusion stuff that ruins lives when you don't know what to do and you don't know where to go. It's difficult. And the pictures, again, you know, the escape and the alone, the way that you've dealt with it in the past, being alone or being escaping from it, you know, as a way to try to deal with the powerlessness, you've learned a new anchor, you've learned a new thing. And I don't know why, but you said something about the piano, not putting it on there, but wish you did. And there's something there about, what do they put? Piano, not as an escape, but as a reset something, where you're getting a little out of control, but you have something to go to that resets your brain back to, okay, getting settled, grounded, and moving forward. And then the last words that came to mind, you know, which tied together the broken and the redemption, which redemption was a theme throughout the whole thing, redeeming, you know, taking what's bad as good and taking your experience and making it better, and powerful peacemaker that settled You know, you want to be powerful, you want to have peace, and you want to create peace for others so that they can live a life that they really want and not just be pushed around by everything outside them.
Luke, thank you for your story and pictures in your heart. A couple things that stood out in your story to me, and really and I want to remind you, you know, of them just for the future and now, that it seems like these things really touch you. The moment when you almost committed suicide. When you left your friends in Spain, and when the young girl died, also the being alone in the car, I had a sense that a lot of things out of your control happened to you that were very impactful. The one thing that stood out that was really cool is when you're up on that building and the guy intervened for no reason at all, and just see God back in that story saying, "Hey, you're my son. I'm going to protect you in this. I'm going to bring you through." And I think he was there. Well, I know he was there in all those times. And I know he was there, you know, bringing you through for, I think, your glory and the things you have to offer. I do see how you've brought, you know, some of those things, forward, some of the things you went through, and they're really redeeming them in ways that you are treating and interacting with people, from the, redemption of your kids and bringing them together. That's sweet. A couple of the ways you affected me. I feel like you're very accepting of people for who and where they are. That had an impact on me. I think that's something that you bring to a group. The other thing is, there's this refreshingness about you, you bring some good energy, and I just, yeah, it's refreshing to have you around and being a part, and speaking and saying what you have to say was refreshing for me. The one that jumped out at me from your words was restore. I think there's a, you have a heart to fight for people, and with restoration in mind, and I think a lot of who you are is poured into that. The other word that kind of came to mind that I'm not really even sure why is happy, and so I'll just leave that word with you. Maybe it'll mean more later or something, but happy came to mind.
Luke, boy, your story touched me pretty deeply. I'd share with you before, I've heard a lot of stories, and yours is was hard for me to hear. It's hard for me to hear. This is what I heard in your story. You were alone. You're alone. Starved socially. You're socially handicapped. You didn't know where you belonged. And like all of us, your heart's desire was to be, do you see me? Do you delight in me? Do you love what you see? Do I have what it takes? I felt like those questions went unanswered for a long time. I think you have an amazing gift that, from what I gather, probably came from your mother, the artistic side of you, the creative side of you. Like Joseph, I was curious, do you have a piano?
Yes.
Okay, because I think that's an extension of your glory. So I don't know if you dust it off as often as you might, but I don't know. I hear a longing and a connectedness to music, and however that speaks to you, I'm not sure, but it certainly seems like there's a light that comes out when you allow yourself to have that artistic side express itself. Hearing about your mom, and my immediate thoughts was, gosh, what's her story? I don't know if you know Mom's story or not, but just that's a curious question for me that I think I would want to know. You know, running up to 10 years old, where you finally had the first time having friends, is what you had said. But then that being ripped away, there was so much loss. You know, there was so much loss in your story. So I'll continue to go through it, but it was just apparent. I mean, it was just loss after loss after loss. And then what does that do? What messaging comes from that? How are you guarding your heart? I'm not going to allow this to happen anymore. So you're making agreements. I will never. So what did that do to the trust and the retreat and future relationships? You know, going into Spain. And then I think probably one of the first times you felt loved was by Umberto and Anna. I mean, it was just apparent that the longing and the loneliness and the not being fathered, you finally started to experience that, I think, for one of the first times. And I could just see you start to come alive in that. And I love that you're still in contact with them. You know, you talking about your parents not even knowing you were gone that night that you got lost on the other side of the mountain. And then how you kind of laughed it off. It's not okay. And it's not something to be laughed off. And it was interesting how you rationalized that. And I'm not sure that you're settled on that particular one, but I think that was kind of overshadowing the umbrella of your life, and that you weren't seen. And I think it might have been crystallized in that moment that you maybe really, really saw it. You're so sensitive. And what's cool is I think your sensitive heart, you were feeling all these things, and maybe you weren't understanding them, but you were aware of them, where most people, I don't think, would have been aware of what was going on at the moment, particularly even later in life. But, you know, going back to the loss, you said one of the saddest points in your life was leaving Spain, is you knew that there was going to be closure there. And the foreshadowing and the symbolism and what happened on that day where it was raining, where you saw your friends on that platform, and instead of your heart or the train moving towards love where your girlfriend in the church was, no, you're going the opposite direction. Yeah. Train was going the other direction. You were moving towards something, got ripped away again. You've always been a foreigner. Where do I belong? Am I a Yankee? Am I an American? Who am I? And yeah, I mean, that obviously was spoken into you through wherever you were at the time of your life. You live in a battle, hardcore battle, and I think the enemy has got an army on you right now. And just to be aware of that, and I'll go more into that in a little bit. You know, why that four-year-old patient impacted you and touched you so deeply? I'm not sure why it shook you so deeply, I think, is what you said. But something in that moment, I think you saw something in that moment, saw yourself in that moment somehow. And it's at that point I feel like you decided to become the rescuer that I think you are. I think that there are... the one thing that keeps screaming out to me, and I could be wrong with this, but I keep hearing that perhaps you may believe that you've dealt with a lot of things and you've brought those for restoration and healing, and that you've or have crossed that finish line on some things. I think that there are a ton of unresolved brokenness that still need to be either readdressed, and it's okay, man, we have to go back. I mean, it's not a one and done. And so I'll just say, keep taking these to the Father and go into your story and really understand it. You are really good. I'm very conflicted to say, you are very clear on what happened to you, but in a lot of ways, I don't think you are clear what happened to you emotionally. There's a sensitivity to it, and I think you understand those. But just I would encourage you to drill deeper into that and say, Father, what is this? So again, I would encourage you to stay on the path of healing and restoration. And to know, I think it's really important for you to be able to identify what are your wounds, and when you're in a moment, to be able to quickly identify what, as you become a warrior, you start to say, oh, I know what this is. I want to see you get to the place where I know what this is, and I'm rejecting it. That is not who I am. It's a huge piece of the armor that we put on, and it's I think the journey of becoming a warrior so that you can go after other hearts. So I would say, please focus on you and your healing and your restoration, because I'm not sure you're ready to be the restorer that you want to be, but boy, is that in your gifting. You could impact so many people, but you've got to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. It's kind of like Michael always talks about the air mask dropping the plane. You've got to put it on yourself first before you can start helping others. You got to work hard. This is not going to come through osmosis. I mean, I would encourage journaling. And for me, this is just for me. I don't know what I think until a pencil hits the paper. For some reason, a different side of my brain opens up and God reveals things to me in a way that I never would have ever thought about just sitting around in prayer. Your glory, man, I see the ability in you, and that you certainly have felt and experienced the emotions of what happened to you. So the empathy that you have towards others to be accepting, it's just amazing. I mean, that's all we want, is to be loved and accepted unconditionally. And I think you have that gift. I think you need to accept that gift, which you did talk about when you were up there in the delight. I want you to experience that delight. I want you to experience the love of the Father, not know it, feel it, experience it. And I think as you work through that, you still got your small K kingdom. And boy, your sphere of influence with your family and your children and your wife, and there's just so much there that needs rescuing, I think, understanding and love. I just think that is more than enough right now. Pursuit of their hearts, right? Pursuit of your heart, and being able to talk openly with your wife, because that's only going to bring you guys closer together. There's a radiance about you, for sure. You're very articulate. You're very well at communicating. I think that's an amazing gift. There's a tenderness in your heart that I just think it's unique because of what you experienced. So that's the good that God was up to in part with all that happened to you. I just feel a strong conviction to warn you to guard your heart. I came up with Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life. There are so much that you can bring, but if you do not guard your heart, it is going to be robbed, stolen, and killed. Do not let the enemy take your joy. And he is fighting to do that. And I just feel like there's an attack. I don't know why, but I just feel like you are under attack and you need to be aware. So guard your heart, guard your heart. I think you're in a healing and restoring phase. And I think it's really important. You know, one of the things that, one of the favorite things I've ever heard out of Zoe is, and it might have been my counselor, I don't remember which, but the first time I heard it was, is, you know, we have to understand life looking backwards, but we've got to live it moving forwards. There's a lot in your past story. And to go back and understand and see that and learn from that, wow, there's a lot of good material, good, bad material, if you know what I mean. But there's so much good in it. And I see that there was so much good in your life in those moments. So, love you. You are a good, good man with a good heart.
Thank you.
Guard it. All right.